بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد خاتم النبيين وإمام المرسلين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. It is indeed a great honor and privilege for me to be in your midst this evening, and I am told that tomorrow's discussion is originally and basically meant for the Muslim students who are studying in this country, and either they have graduated or they are about to graduate in different subjects. I am a humble student of Islamic Sharia, and being a student, always like to speak to the students. So I am very grateful for the organizers of this session who provided me with an opportunity to see and be among my fraternity of students. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this session beneficial for all of us. In fact, the subjects that are handed over to me right now to cover in my speech relate to the future of the students. How should they manage their future career? In order to present my humble submission on that subject, it will be pertinent to remind all of us of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with Islam. Alhamdulillah, we all of us are Muslims, believing in La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. But it is very unfortunate that since last two centuries, Islam has been misinterpreted, not only in the non-Muslim circles, but also within the Islamic community. The problem is that Islam has been taken by many of us as a cult, as merely a religion, as merely a composition of some rituals and modes of worship. And the wider guidelines and principles enunciated by Islam are either totally forgotten or neglected, and it has been held that Islam does not mean except to go to the mosque and offer five times prayer and to recite the Holy Quran without understanding it, and to have some rituals, and to have a particular way of our dress and appearance. Although the importance of the modes of worship, the importance of the mosque and madrasas can never be undervalued, but the Islam is not restricted to these modes of worship. Islam is a wider guidance for the whole humankind. The Holy Quran itself says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu udkhulu fis silmi kaffah. O you who believe, you must enter Islam totally. It means that Islam has a wider guidance in all spheres of our life. But unfortunately, since the political fall of the Muslims, the religion or Islam has been restricted to the masjid, mosque and madrasa. So far as its guidance about our socio-economic and socio-political affairs is concerned, it is totally neglected and it has been held as it is not a part of our religion. So, although if I speak on the guidelines provided by Islam in politics, in economics, in our social life, it will not be, this time will not be enough to cover all of this. But since the subject interested to me is relates mostly to the economy and finance, therefore I will restrict myself to that particular sphere in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has provided us with certain guidance. Although as a Muslim we can believe that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us in the Holy Quran or whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden us from, all are for our own benefit in this world. And if we have a blind faith in that, that may not be criticized, because we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the knowledge and wisdom, and whatever He orders us to do is based on some wisdom. But after studying, you know, I am now, I have passed nearly half a century studying the Islamic teachings, Islamic precepts, rules and principles, and the provisions of the Islamic jurisprudence about economic affairs. And after studying all this, I am alhamdulillah of the firm belief that the economic system or economic principles enshrined by the Holy Quran and Sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are so beneficial not only for the Muslims but for the humanity at large, that it can be a third option for the world of today to go for after experiencing the two conflicting theories of capitalist and socialist systems. And for that purpose, we first of all must be aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us certain directions in our economic activities. On the first hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His beloved Prophet Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has declared that any person who is involved in economic activities, he is discharging an obligation and to earn livelihood with a halal way, with a permissible way, is an obligation after the obligation of five times prayers. Kasbul halal, talabul halal, faridatun ba'dal faridah. That is, to earn livelihood through halal sources is the second obligation after the obligation of five times prayers. So, this importance has been attached to the economic activities by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But at the same time, It has been declared by the Holy Quran that the economic activities should not be the final or ultimate goal of a Muslim. Economic activities are the means, not the end in itself. So the ultimate goal to which a Muslim should strive for is the welfare of oneself in the life hereinafter, that is akhirah. But economic activities have been taken as a means to achieve that goal. And therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have laid down some principles and rules to abide by all the Muslims. One of those principles is what has been recited by my predecessor in the Holy Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it lawful to trade, but He has prohibited riba, that is usury or interest. And it has been declared that many people say that إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ مِثْلُ الرِّبَى, trading is very similar to riba or usury. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared that they are not similar. They are quite different from each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed trade, but disallowed riba or usury. As a believer, as a Muslim, one has to submit to this verse of the Holy Quran, and he must believe that riba is not allowed, is totally prohibited, and one should not involve in riba. Many people sometimes ask why riba or interest has been prohibited, why riba has been taken as haram while the trade has been taken as halal. This question in fact is illogical in itself. Firstly, because if we have submitted ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Lord. He has the final wisdom. If He has ordered us to do something or has prohibited us from doing something, then we are nobody to question His command, to question His prohibition. Sometime I give an example that if, for example, you have a servant, you have employed him at your home to do certain services for you, and if you order him, please bring 1 kilo of or 10 kilo of mutton from the market. So what is the duty of the servant? The duty of the servant is to obey the command and to go to the market and purchase the required meat. But if the servant stands up and says, why should I buy or purchase 10 kilograms of meat or 10 kilograms of mutton? First tell me the reason. Why are you asking for 10 kilos of mutton while you are alone at home and nobody is there? So first tell me the reason and then I'll bring the meat. Then that servant is not competent to be served, to be such a servant is liable to be fired, because it is not his job to ask why the employer is ordering him to do something or to avoid something. Although the servant is a human being and the master is also a human being, the knowledge of both is limited. Still you cannot tolerate such a servant at your home. But we, as compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is beyond all limits. And we have very limited knowledge. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to do something or to avoid something, we are nobody to ask why. So this question of why, against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are in itself illogical. Once you have submitted to Allah, Islam means submission. Islam in Arabic means submission. When you submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to accept each and every command and prohibition given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is on the first, at the first place, there is no room for any question of why. But in order to satisfy ourselves, in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give us a command or does not prohibit us from anything without a wisdom behind it. Although, sometimes we do not know that wisdom, we do not appreciate that wisdom. But He has wisdom behind us, every command. Now, in the case of interest, I would say that the wisdom behind the prohibition of riba has become so evident in our days that it has never been before. Because the system of interest developed by the present-day capitalist system has in fact brought so much horror in the whole economic arena that was not imagined some centuries ago. Some people say that it was usury that was prohibited by the Holy Quran, in which some poor people used to borrow money for their own day-to-day needs, and then the lender used to charge them interest over and above their principal. That was a cruel system, that was unjust. But in today's environment, the borrowers are rich people and they invest that money into their business and they earn huge profits, and therefore it is not unjust for the lender to charge an interest over the money he has advanced to the rich people. This is the argument, perhaps you have heard about it, this is the argument which is being repeated, at every place. But this argument reminds me of a joke. The joke was told to me by my father. He is, narrated that there was an Indian singer, musician, who traveled to Saudi Arabia for Hajj. So after performing Hajj, he was traveling to Medina Munawwara for the ziyarah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in those days, the travel to Medina used to take more than one day. So he had to stay at a place between Makkah and Medina and spend the night there. So when he was, after having dinner, he was sitting there, then an Arab musician, an Arab singer came at the same place and started playing music and started singing. But his song, his voice and his music was so awkward that, the Indian singer did not like that music. And after hearing that music and song, he commented that I cannot but admire Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he has prohibited the music and prohibited this song because he has heard the song of these Bedouins. Had he heard my music and my songs, he never have prohibited music or songs. So the same argument is now presented against the prohibition of riba, that the usury that was in the days of the Holy Prophet was different from the usury or interest prevalent in those days. While the fact is that riba has never been so destructive as it is today. You know, just to give you a very brief description of what this interest system is doing to the humanity. You must know that all the banks who are doing the business of riba, doing the business of interest, all the people deposit their money into the banks, and the banks, you know, have the wealth of the whole nation with it. Now, who benefits from this wealth? If you analyze, you will find that if me and a poor person goes to a bank to borrow money, he will be kicked out from the bank. Because unless he has a collateral, unless he has a property, unless he has an industry, he cannot be given any loan. The loan is offered only to the persons, to the rich people. And those rich people who take loans from the banks, if they are analyzed, they are very, very small percentage of the total population of the nation. When I was the judge of the Supreme Court and I was delivering a judgment on interest, I called some statistics from the Central Bank of Pakistan, and according to those statistics, it was only 0.06% of the total population who have borrowed this money from the banks. 0.06% of the total population. This means that the wealth of the whole nation is being utilized by some handful of some people. Now, what they do with this? They invest this wealth into profitable projects. Sometimes they earn huge profit out of this. And this huge profit sometimes becomes, you know, reaches 100%. So, taking an extreme situation, example, if an industrialist, for example, has earned 100% profit, then he will pass on from this profit, he will pass on only a small amount of interest to the bank. What is the rate of interest today? 4 point something to the bank. And the bank, after deducting its own interest, will pass it on to the depositor, which will be 3% or something. So the common layman is very happy that he has deposited 100 pounds and he has got back 103. But the poor person does not know that his wealth, his money, was utilized by the capitalists and he has earned huge profits out of it. Then this 3 pounds that he has earned on 100 pounds, then this is again taken back by the same industrialist community, because whenever a person, a borrower from the bank, an industrialist, a producer, he takes a loan from the bank, whatever interest he pays is included in the cost of his production. And the prices of commodities that are sold in the market include the rate of interest that has been paid to the bank. So this poor person who has earned 3 pounds on his 100 pounds, when he goes to the supermarket and buys the bread, and buys the butter, he pays those £3 back to the same industrialist community. And in this way, in real terms, he earns nothing. The whole profit has gone to the pocket of the industrialist. If there is a loss, and if you take an extreme situation, the bank sometimes goes bankrupt. So, if the bank goes bankrupt, then the money invested by the industrial was only 10% or 20%. The whole wealth was invested by the depositor. So, it is the depositor who will lose his money. So, if there is a profit, the whole profit goes to the capitalist. And if there is a loss, then the loss is passed on to the common depositors. This is the system that has been developed by this interest-based banking. And unfortunately, the money is being traded now. The claims over money through options, through derivatives, they are also traded. And the present economists have now estimated that the total worth of derivatives is so large that it is 8 times more than the total GDP of the whole world, and behind which is nothing. It is a balloon having nothing inside. So this is the system that has been developed by this interest. Therefore, I would say that interest of usury or riba was not so destructive in the past centuries, in the days of the Holy Prophet, as it is today. This is the economic side of the picture. Now, after examining these things, you will find that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِلَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, if you do not desist from riba, then take a declaration of war from Allah and His Messenger. This has not been declared against any sinful act, neither against adultery, nor against eating pork or drinking alcohol. This has been said only about riba, that if you do not desist from it, then take the declaration of war from Allah and His Messenger. And in a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that being involved in riba is so bad, even worse than the sin of committing adultery with one's own mother. This is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in fact, this is so dangerous an act. And therefore, our Muslim students should be aware of it, that this is the prohibition given by Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, alhamdulillah, within last 3 decades, there have come into being certain institutions, and who at least claim to free themselves from the curse of riba, and they claim that they will run their business according to the principles and rules of Sharia. Now the number of these institutions has increased to more than 200 throughout the world. Even in your country there are some institutions who are doing that, or at least heading towards that. So alhamdulillah, there are some occasions, there are some venues to which our students who graduate in finance can go there, instead of involving themselves in riba-based financial institutions. They should opt for such institutions as are heading towards an Islam. I do not claim that these institutions who are called now Islamic banks or Islamic financial institutions are 100% perfect. They are passing through their age of infancy, through the transitory period in which they commit some mistakes, sometimes commit blunders. Still, they are heading towards that goal, and I would advise my brothers who are involved in financial in finance that they should take this opportunity to go to those institutions instead of being seeking employment in riba based financial institutions. Sometimes the people say that we should seek employment in conventional banks and financial institutions so that we may have an experience, and that experience will be beneficial for us later on when we go to Islamic financial institutions. You know, according to me, in fact, this is not a correct argument. Sometimes people say that intention is to learn, and after that involve oneself, you know, in or employ oneself in an Islamic institution. But merely the intention is not enough unless the practice is in accordance with that. So therefore, according to me, this is not a wise option, wise choice for a student to go to riba-based financial institutions. Instead, he can learn or have experience through other companies, through other management companies, etc., in which he may have experience and at the same time may save himself from the curse of riba. The question before me is that what is needed of them to develop Islamic finance? And the students must learn that they have a very safe and sound Islamic system of economy. Alhamdulillah, there are a lot of books that have appeared on the subject of Islamic economy, Islamic finance. So all the students, I would request all the students to study those books so that they may know what are the basic traits and characteristics of Islamic finance. And once they learn those principles, then inshallah they will be the most suitable persons to employ those principles into the practical life. Alhamdulillah, I am glad to hear that the organization, the Federation of Islamic Students, Islamic Society, alhamdulillah, takes care of the Muslim students living in this country, and alhamdulillah, it has many programs for their training and for their education and for their betterment. I would request them to organize such courses for the students that may acquaint them with the, equip them with the true knowledge of Islamic finance also. And I hope that inshallah this request may be met, and inshallah in future you will be more knowledgeable as far as Islamic finance is concerned. With these few words, I seek your permission, and may I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He may guide us all and to provide us guidance both here in this world and in the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.